Good evening, everybody. I welcome you to another midweek service at the Grace Community Church. It's Wednesday, and we're continuing our series on the help of the Holy Spirit in the lives of us believers. We're in a section of this study where we've now been, in the last few weeks, looking at the manifestation of the Spirit. And if you remember, I said that it's more or less like a subsection or a subclass of the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Our text in the last few weeks has largely been 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this evening, again, I want to read a few verses of that passage before we continue. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 1. I'm reading from the KJV version of the Bible. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Verse 11. "But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." On the first Wednesday, we looked mainly at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all," explaining that the manifestation of the Spirit is for every believer, and not only for a super class of Christians, not only for the Jim Christians. You know, they say that from the part of the world that I am from, the Jim Christians. No, it's not only for the spirikoko, it's not only for the mystics, it's for everybody, and it's for everybody's profit. Then last week, we looked at the first few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 just to give us a background, essentially saying to us or helping us understand that we are in relationship with a God who is alive. And the fact that God is alive means that he has the ability, and not only has the ability, but he actually communicates with his people, and he shows himself to be alive in different ways and in different fashions. And one of those ways is by the manifestation of the Spirit. So we're going to go on quickly. Last week, we looked at the manifestation of faith, if you remember. But today, we're going to go on quickly to look at another set of manifestation. So this week, we'll be looking at the manifestation of the Spirit, manifestation of the gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. Manifestation of the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. And you find those in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Let's start with the gift of healing. The manifestation of the gift of healing is an occurrence in which there's a God-given spiritual ability to heal by the power of God. And it would usually occur when a believer, perhaps acting on revelation and by faith, brings the power of God to bear on another person's physical, mental illness, and there is a healing for him or for her. Now, you see, the way these phenomena occur does not suggest that these things you are describing are abilities that are embedded in people by the Spirit, particularly. But they are instantaneous operations of the Holy Spirit. So, for instance, this is what I mean. The manifestation of the gifts of healing is describing not an ability that is embedded in someone to just heal anyone and everyone as you like or at your will, but a specific operation of the Holy Spirit whereby he brings about healing in a particular circumstance. We need to understand, as we've read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that God is sovereign. And particularly when it comes to the manifestation of the Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit who has the prerogative and the ability to distribute these phenomena or these experiences, and there is nothing mechanical or automatic about it. When we look all through biblical history, starting even from the Old Testament and then coming into the New Testament times, God has always healed sicknesses. And by healing, I mean an operation of God where he brings restoration and wholeness back to a body or to a person who is diseased, a defective body, some physiological abnormality, some defect is healed. There's a restoration. There is a return to normalcy of the functioning of a part of the body. Maybe a lost ability is restored. There's healing. Starting from Genesis chapter 17, we see the story of Abimelech and his household who were healed. All through into the New Testament. And in fact, some of those occurrences in the Old Testament did not even occur to only the Jews or the Israelites. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we see the story of the Syrian general, Naaman, who was healed by an operation of the power of God. So you see, I know that some people don't believe, or some people believe that God has stopped healing the sick. But surely, one cannot make either a biblical or historical case that God has ceased healing people today. There are documented stories, not only of healing in the New Testament times, I mean in the book of Acts, but all throughout history. Men and women have experienced healing by the operation of the Spirit of God, documented. And I believe that today, and even now, up until now, people can be healed by the touch of God upon their life from all manner of sicknesses. And in fact, I have seen it happen in the lives of people. The best illustration, and the one that I will point us to, of this sort of operation of the Holy Spirit was an event that is recorded for us in the ministry of Christ Jesus while he was on earth. And that's a passage that we find in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 precisely. It says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem." But there's a phrase, it says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. We should note that within this crowd were Pharisees and doctors of the law. I remember reading Alexander McLaren's exposition of the Holy Scriptures, and I remember vividly how he described them. I mean the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. He called them unfriendly observers, heresy hunters, who had come with their cynical watchfulness. But you see, not even their cynicism or unfriendliness could stop the operation of the power of the Lord to heal. The way that verse is phrased suggests that the power of the Lord was present and the operation on that day was to effect healing. That's what I mean. The power of the Lord was present and the effect that day was to bring healing. There are times that this manifestation of the gifts of healing even occurs without any human involvement. What I mean is that nobody is announcing anything, nobody is laying hands, nobody is making any declaration, nobody is saying anything. It's just a time of worship. Everybody is just worshiping the Lord, listening to the word, and the Holy Spirit is just moving amongst the people, and he effects healings in the lives of people. There is such a thing up till now as the manifestation of the gifts of healing, and it's important that we recognize it. Let's go on quickly and look at this next one. the manifestation of the working of miracles. The working of miracles. Now, a miracle is something that is humanly possible, but divinely simple. You know, generally, you will measure difficulty by the capacity of the agent that is doing the work. So, for example, when a child wants to lift an object, a heavy object, you say, ah, it's too difficult. But you see, that same object can be lifted quite easily by an older child. And perhaps even much, much easily by an adult male. Which is why many children think their fathers are supermen. Simply because the ability in an adult man to accomplish the tasks, the same tasks as children, is much higher. Now, you see, when God is the agent doing any work, then talk of difficulty is absurd. A manifestation of the gift of the working of miracles is that there is a God-given spiritual ability to perform miracles, to effect miracles by the power of God. When Paul was speaking, I think it was to King Agrippa, in Acts 26 and verse 8, he made a statement. He says, why should it be thought an incredible thing with you that God should raise the dead? In Genesis 1, God created Adam and Eve. He breathed life into Adam when he was just an inanimate matter made out of mud. And so, of course, it would not be a problem for God to raise the dead. So raising the dead, for example, would be considered a miracle. And generally, anything that is accomplished or that occurs and goes outside the normalcy of human knowledge or what is commonly accepted to be normal will then be a miracle, a supernatural occurrence. Now, the manifestation of the gifts of healing and the working of miracles are similar in some ways. On top of that list of the similarities will be that what is occurring is an expression of the power of the Lord, but the difference is just that when it is healing, then the operation of the power of the Lord at that instance is effecting a healing. While in the working of miracles, the effect that is produced is something else, not healing. Of course, there are miracles that were not healings, even in scripture. For instance, the parting of the Red Sea was a miraculous occurrence. Water coming out from the rock, what's a miraculous occurrence? The prophets Elijah and Elisha particularly had many experiences of supernatural occurrences that we can call miracles. But there are also many miracles of healing in the Bible. For instance, in Mark chapter 10, we see the story of Bartimaeus, the healing of Bartimaeus, who had been born blind. It was a miracle, but it was a miracle of healing. Elijah, for instance, had prayed and it did not rain for the space of 3 years. And there was drought. And then he prayed again and then it rained. That was a miracle. In fact, during the period of drought, he came to a widow in the book of 1 Kings. And he asked the widow to give him something to eat, if you remember the story. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah said to her, make some bread for me first. She did. And all throughout that time, there was a miracle that occurred. The meal in her barrel and the oil was never empty. That was a miracle. It went against normalcy. It went against what would normally occur. But it was the supernatural power of God that was brought to bear in that circumstance. Several experiences that we find occurrences in the lives of Elijah and Elisha. Remember the story of Hezekiah in Isaiah 38. It was a miracle of healing. But there was also the miracle of the sundial going backwards. And then, of course, we come into the New Testament and we see several examples of the life of Jesus, starting from when he turned water into wine. In fact, Jesus did so many miracles. He healed a nobleman's son from a distance. He raised the dead son of a widow. He raised the daughter of Jairus, and he also raised Lazarus. In Lazarus' case, it was even very, very significant. Lazarus had been buried for 4 days. Jesus walked on water. Jesus fed the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And as we also go through the book of Acts, we find miracle after miracle documented in scripture for us. And just as with healing, I'm convinced that God is still in the business of doing miracles. Now, I know that there are many gimmicks and tricks that people have come up with. Some of them are scripted events. Some of them are outright fraudulent actions. Some are choreographed actions. Some are carefully rehearsed encounters. People get actors, actresses, to act and make people believe that miracles and healings have occurred. I know. And many times, these occurrences push people away from embracing the truth of the reality of these divine experiences. But the fact that there are these occurrences should not make us as Christians start to doubt the authenticity and the reality of these manifestations. I'll give one illustration and then we'll close and go continue next week. Sometime in, I think it was 1999, early days of my involvement in ministry, back on the campus of University of Ibadan. No, so this was in UCH, University College Hospital. A friend of mine at that time organized a program. It was titled, Lord, Let the Healings Begin. And the theme scripture for that program was from Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, where it says, to you that revere him, or to you that fear him, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. I can't forget, you know. As that program went on, my friend gave a word of knowledge, speaking about someone who had a problem with hearing in one of his ears. And then this man walked out. And my friend blew into his ear. And that was it. This man was healed. Later, we engaged this brother that God healed, engaged him in a conversation, and found out that he wasn't even one of the people that we had invited. He was just walking past and saw that there was a program, and then he walked in. And right there and then, there was an operation of the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. And this man received healing to his ear. And I am saying that up till now, our God is alive. He still heals. He's still in the business of doing miracles. And this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit can bring about in our lives. And this is one of the phenomena that we can experience because we are in relationship with a living God. We'll stop here. We'll continue next week as we look at, hopefully, perhaps finish up describing the other manifestations of the Spirit that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you all for joining. Have a great evening. And don't forget, you can always ask questions. Bye.